And I'll give you a few minutes to find it, and before I begin. Would he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, "We are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty." Again, Dr. Groza's aptly message is entitled "Christ-like Service." Dr. Groza.
Well, thank you, Peter, and good morning, everyone. It's great to be with you. I trust that you had a good week, whether it was an easy week or a hard week. I trust that the Lord taught you some things this week, and I hope that our focus on the resurrection last week gave you some joy and some zeal and some energy for the Lord this past week. And I hope that today's passage will do the same for the week and the weeks to come, because I think that it is a very important topic. So make sure you're turning your Bible to Luke chapter 17. We're going to be looking at verses 7 through 10. And thank you, Peter, for reading those and for praying. And I couldn't agree with your prayer more. We need the Lord to illuminate his word to us this morning. That's what we need. And so we trust that the Holy Spirit will do that for us. So Luke 17, verses 7 through 10. And this is a special morning for me because my family is with me. And also, my daughter turns 4 today. So Kate turns 4 years old this morning. And so it's a I was up this morning, and she came walking down the hallway in her pajamas, and she had a big smile on her face, and she said, "Mom tells me it's my birthday today." I said, "That's right. That's a great age when your mom needs to tell you it's your birthday." Luke 17, 7 through 10. I'm calling this Christ-like service. When I was in high school, the high school that I went to in Phoenix, Arizona, had a program where your senior year of high school, you could go to classes half day on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Half day. In the morning, you'd go to class, and in the afternoon, if you were a student that was interested in a profession in medicine, you could go and volunteer at the Veterans Hospital, the VA. And so I would go to school half day, and then I would drive to the VA, and I would volunteer at the VA because when I was in high school, I wanted to be a physician. I thought that would be wonderful. And so I got to go to the VA, and they trained you. They gave you some basic training. They gave you some hospital, you know, scrubs, and they gave you a name tag, and you would volunteer in different departments. And so I got to volunteer in the surgical unit. I got to volunteer in the ER. I got to volunteer in the cardiology department. My senior year of high school, I was doing EKGs on people at the VA. But that's the VA. You volunteer at the VA and you might be doing surgeries. They give you a lot of opportunities. And I realized something during my volunteering at the VA. I liked the idea of being a doctor. But I didn't want to do the kinds of things that a doctor had to do. I liked the idea of working in medicine, but I didn't like the work of medicine. In our passage today, Jesus talks about service. He talks about being a servant. And in doing so, he confronts a problem that all of us face. We like the idea of being a servant, but not the work of service. We like the idea of being a servant, but not the work of service. Or as John Montgomery puts it, we all want to be known as a servant, but we don't want to be treated like a servant. We want to be known as a servant, but we don't want to be treated like a servant. Now, the immediate context of our passage in earlier on in verses 1 through 4, Jesus warns the disciples of temptation. Let's look at that real briefly. Chapter 17, starting in verse 1. And he said to his disciples, "Temptations to sin are sure to come, but woe to the one through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were cast into the sea than he should cause one of these little ones to sin. Pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in the day and turns to you 7 times saying, 'I repent,' you must forgive him. So Jesus warns them of temptation and of the need for forgiveness. And in verse 3, Jesus says, be on your guard. Beware. The Greek word there is prosecco. Be on guard. Watch out. Be alert. And notice he says, notice that he says, pay attention to or beware of yourselves. Pay attention to yourselves. Pay attention to temptation, verses 1 and 2. Beware of an unforgiving heart, verses 3 and 4. Those are very dangerous sins that we must be on guard against. But in our passage today, Jesus warns us of an equally dangerous sin that we should be on guard against. In verses 7 through 10, Jesus is warning against something very dangerous, something very subtle. And it is this. Jesus is warning us against the danger of talking like a servant, but not acting like a servant. Talking like a servant, but not acting like a servant. Jesus is warning us against the danger of telling God when you will and won't serve. Jesus is warning us against the danger of wanting to be known as a servant, but not wanting to be treated as a servant. So starting in verse 7, Jesus asks a probing question. A probing question. Verse 7, Jesus asks his disciples, will any of you who has a servant plowing or keeping sheep say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and recline at the table? Let me ask that question again. Verse 7. Will any of you who has a servant plowing or keeping sheep say to him when he has come in from the field, come on, eat, recline at the table? This is a good question. Jesus wants to know if his disciples, when they come home and their servant, their doulos, their slave, when they've done their work, do you say to the servant, do you say to the slave who's been working all day, laboring in the fields, do you say to them, in essence, come on, you've done enough. Come on, kick back. Have something to eat. Stop working. Stop serving. Stop being my servant and just take it easy. Do you say that? Do you say that to your servant? That's what Jesus is asking. Is that what you do? And the answer, verse 8, is no. Notice in verse 8, Jesus says, will he not rather say? The answer is no. You don't come home and reverse the roles. You don't come home and the servant becomes the master and the master becomes the servant. Those are the roles. No, you don't tell the servant to stop serving because that is what servants do. Servants serve. Instead of saying to the servant, take it easy, you've done enough, just relax. Instead of that, notice verse 8. Instead of that, you don't say that. Instead, would you not rather say, prepare supper for me and dress properly and serve me while I eat and drink, and then afterwards you will eat and drink. So notice what Jesus is saying. You don't come home and tell the servant to stop serving. You come home and you say to the servant, now it's time to prepare supper. So I want you to get dressed and I want you to serve me, and then you can eat and drink. In other words, you don't come home and tell your servant to stop working. You give them more to do. You give them more work. And only once they have done everything you need them to do, only once they have exhausted the work of the master, only then do you invite them to eat and drink. But the servant serves the master. I want to call this unconditional service. If you take notes, I want you to write the words unconditional service. Unconditional service. And the other kind of service is conditional service, conditional service. What Jesus just described is unconditional service. And what we want to do is put conditions on our service. And that's what Jesus is warning us against. Jesus is warning us, don't put conditions on your service. Be an unconditional servant. And Jesus is warning us, remember, beware, Prosecco, warning, be on guard against the danger of being a conditioned or conditional servant. So the warning, there are several conditions that we like to put on our service. There are several conditions, qualifications that we like to put on our service. Oh, I'll be a servant if, condition number one, we want to put a limit, a time limit on our service. We want to put a time limit on our service. Beware of putting a time limit on your service. Now notice the servant in the story, he had been serving all day. He had been serving all day. Will any of you who has a servant plowing or keeping sheep say to him when he has come in from the field? When does he come in from the field at the end of the day? He's been serving all day. All day. And then the master gives him more work to do. So often we fall prey to putting a time limit on our service. We think, I've put in the hours and now I'm done serving. You ever feel this way? You ever feel this way? 8 o'clock rolls around, I'm done. I gotta be honest. My wife's here, she can tell you. Sometimes I just say that to the kids. I'm done. We put a time limit on our service. And Jesus is saying, listen to this, brothers and sisters. Jesus is saying, you're never done. You are never done. Your workday only ends when you have done all that the master has for you to do. You may work all day, come home and serve your wife, and then at 10 p.m. a friend calls and they're having some problems and they need your advice and you just want to be left alone. But Jesus is saying, I have work for you to do. You might have plans for your Sunday afternoon, and Jesus is going to interrupt your Sunday afternoon today. He's going to inconvenience you. And I want you to remember this passage, hear the voice of Jesus saying, I've got work for you to do. You're not off the clock. I've got something else for you today. Don't put a time limit on your service. Jesus is saying, there is no time limit for your service. And you say, I just want to kick back and relax. And Jesus says, no, I've got work for you to do. Beware the danger of putting a time limit on your service. Number two, condition number two. We want to be a servant part of the day. I'll only serve for so long. And we want to serve for part of the day. We want to serve and then we want to be the master. We want to be a part-time servant. I want to be a servant part-time. And then I want to be a master part-time. I'm willing to be a servant part-time as long as I get to be a master part-time. Isn't that what Jesus says? Hey, when you come home, does any of you say to your servant, hey, you've been a servant all day long. Now let's switch roles. Now you kick back and relax and I'll be the servant. Jesus says, you don't do that. There's a master and there's a servant. And the servant is the servant is the servant. Full-time servant. Any of you guys ever have a punch card? Maybe where you go to work, you clock in. Anybody ever done that? You got a clock? You got a punch card? I remember I worked security when I was in seminary, and I had a punch card, and I would walk in, and I'd punch in. And then when I put in my 8 hours, I'd punch out. And so often as Christians, we want to serve for a while, and then we want to punch out. And Jesus is saying, you don't ever get to punch out. You are always on duty. No part-time servants in the kingdom of God, full-time servants. We are servants. We don't get to be masters. Condition number three, beware the danger of only being willing to do certain kinds of service. Beware the danger of only being willing to do certain kinds of service. The kinds of service I want to do. Jesus says, beware. Beware. It's not the place of a servant to tell the master what he will and won't do. It's not the place of a servant, it's not the place of a slave to tell the master what he will and won't do. Notice this servant, verse 7. What's he doing all day? Plowing the field, keeping the sheep. Where's he working? He's outside. He's outside. It gets hot in places where Jesus was talking to folks. It gets hot in Judea. It gets hot around there. It can be hot, it can be cold, it's hard work. It's exhausting work. It's dirty work, sweaty work, hard work. How do you think that servant felt when they came in from the field? Tired, wasted, wrung out, worn out. But the servant doesn't get to tell the master what kind of work he'll do. The master comes home and says, now I want you to wash up, and I want you to get changed. Now you're going to cook for me. Notice what he says. That's what he says. Look at verse 8. Prepare supper for me. You've been tilling the field. You've been wearing overalls. You're out there with the animals, feeding the sheep, shepherding the sheep. You're doing outside work. And now Jesus says, now I need you to do inside work. You're doing outside work. You're doing manual labor. Now it's time to clean up, put on an apron, and cook. Because that's the work I have for you to do now. The master comes home, wash up, get changed, and get ready to cook. The servant must be willing to do whatever kind of work the master has for him to do. Do you put that condition on your service? I'll cook, but I won't clean. I'll clean, but I won't cook. I'll do yard work, but I won't do bathrooms. I'll work with the youth, but I won't work with the seniors. I'm willing to do this once a month, but that's as far as I'll go. You need me to help you move? I'll be there from 9 to 10, but my afternoons belong to me. We put conditions on our service, and that is not Christ-like service. Jesus says, beware of being the kind of servant that doesn't want to be treated like a servant. A servant does whatever work the master has for him to do at any given time. You might find yourself in a situation where you've got a loved one that is dependent upon your care. I remember my grandma got real sick. And some of you have had sweet grandmas, right? They were sweet. I didn't have a sweet grandma. My grandma and my mother, my dad's mom, they had a contentious relationship. And when my grandma got sick, she came and lived with us. And my mother and her mother-in-law, who didn't have a great relationship, all of a sudden my mother had to care for her mother-in-law, my grandma. She had to feed her. She had to wash her. And that's what the Lord had for her to do. And you might find yourself in situations in life where you're doing things you never wanted to do. Well, I don't think Jesus wanted to go to the cross. I know he wasn't looking forward to that. But when you find yourself in a situation where you are faced with an opportunity to serve, and it's not pretty. Don't put the condition that Jesus warns against. Don't put a condition and say, I'll work in the fields, but not in the kitchen, or I'll work in the kitchen, but not in the fields. Jesus says, if you're a servant, you do whatever the master has for you to do. I know at Golden Gate, when I write a job description, it might be this way for you as well. When I write a job description, we always list all of the things that the person has to do. You guys know what I'm talking about? But then we always put a qualification on the job description. Every job description has this line: other duties as assigned. That's a powerful sentence. Other duties as assigned. If my boss calls me today and says, hey, this afternoon I need you to go pick somebody up at the airport, I can't say, sorry, that's not in my job description. He'd say, oh, yes, it is. Because I'm your boss and this is a duty and I'm assigning it. And Jesus is saying, remember when you signed on to follow me? You signed on to do whatever work I have for you because I'm the master and we're the servants. And when Jesus says do it, we don't say, not in my job description, Lord. We say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. As Christians, your job description includes other duties as assigned. Caring for people you don't like, I'll do that, Lord. Doing jobs that you think are beneath you, I'll do that, Lord. Whatever the Lord has for you to do. Conditional service is not Christian service. When you put a time limit on your service, when you put a job limit on your service, when you serve for a little while, but then you want to be the master, that is not Christian service. That's the kind of service the world does. The world is filled with conditional servants, but the kingdom is filled with unconditional servants. Jesus is not calling us to be conditional servants. He's calling us to be unconditional servants. This requires humility. Unconditional service requires humility. Jesus asks another question. Jesus is a master at asking questions. Notice the question that he asks in verse 9. Does he thank the servant because he did what was commanded? This is hard. Get ready to be offended a little bit. Does the master thank the servant when he finishes up that meal that the servant prepared? Does he say, oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much. When the servants worked all day, worked with the animals, been dirty and sweaty, and then changed, come inside, cooked and fed the master and washed the dishes, and is so exhausted, you can imagine this servant exhausted just falling into bed and just falling asleep. Does the master knock on his door and say, thanks so much? The answer? No. No. He doesn't thank the servant. Why doesn't he thank the servant? Well, in verses 9 and 10, he says, does he thank the servant because he did what was commanded? The answer is no. The servant is doing the job of being a servant. That's your job. A servant serves. A servant obeys the commands of the master. That's what they do. Did you ever see the movie The Princess Bride? If you haven't seen The Princess Bride, you need to run out today and see The Princess Bride. That's one of the greatest movies ever. Family, clean, it's great. If you've seen the movie The Princess Bride, it's about a young man and a young woman, and they fall in love, and it's an action-packed movie. It's funny. It's wonderful. But at the beginning, when the girl falls in love with the young man, it's an interesting relationship because the young man, this boy, works on a farm, and the girl that he falls in love with is the daughter of the owner of the farm, and she finds him, and she gives him things to do because she wants to be around him. And she'll say, farm boy, fetch me that pail. And whatever she asks, he does it. And he looks at her and he says, as you wish. As you wish. Farm boy, bring me that bucket, as you wish. Farm boy, saddle my horse, as you wish. And I love that because that's a picture of what we as Christians do. Jesus says, hey, I need you to care for your neighbor, as you wish. Hey, now I need you to take care of your wife as you wish. Hey, that thing your husband was supposed to do, he didn't do it. Now you need to do it as you wish. See that thing your kid left on the floor? That happened to me this morning. As you wish. But what we're tempted to do is walk by and see that thing that somebody else was supposed to do. And we're tempted to think, this isn't my, I shouldn't have to do this. No. You're thinking like a master. You're not thinking like a servant. You need the humility to say, my place is the place of a servant. And my response is, as you wish, Lord. Yes, Lord, as you wish. That's the identity of a servant. So much is said these days about our Christian identity. And whenever Christians talk about their identity in Christ, we love to talk about we're sons of God, we're daughters of God, we're future kings and queens, and that's all great, and we can enjoy that in heaven. But right now, you know what you are? Doulos, servant, slave. And maybe the Lord this morning needs to humble you. And as one of my favorite preachers says, everybody wants to be humble, but nobody wants to be humbled. Maybe the Lord needs to humble us. Jesus makes this point in verse 10. So you also, just like your servant, when you have done what the master commanded, you should say, we are unworthy servants. This is the identity of a Christian. If we're humbled to be unconditional servants are humble. We are not the master. Our job is to serve. Yes, Lord, as you wish. How can you do that? That's not what the world does. You must be a softy. You must be submissive. You must be weak. No, I'm a servant. What kind of servant am I? I'm an unworthy servant. Two words. The first word is a servant. This is what we signed up to do. When you walked that aisle, when you raised your hand, when you gave your life to Jesus, you signed on to follow Jesus. And Jesus said, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus came to serve unto death, Matthew 20, 28. That's your Lord. Who did you sign on to follow? Jesus. What does Jesus say? I didn't come to be served. But how often are you frustrated in life? Be honest with yourself. How often are you frustrated in life because you want to be served? And we need to hear Jesus this morning saying, wait a second. You signed on to follow me, and I didn't come to be served, so you don't get to be served. That's our identity. What's our identity? We are servants. What kind of servants? Get ready to say, ouch, unworthy servants. Unworthy servants. What a privilege to get to follow Jesus in service. What a privilege to be able to serve like Jesus. What a privilege to serve in his kingdom. What a privilege to serve our spouse, our kids, our boss, our neighbor, our friends. Now, please pay attention to what I'm about to say, because this is hard. Unworthy. What a privilege. I don't feel that way most of the time, and neither do you. Let's be honest. When you are serving your kids, you are serving Jesus. When you are serving your neighbor, you are serving Jesus. When you are serving your parent, you are serving Jesus. When you are serving people that you don't like, that are hard to serve, you are serving Jesus. And listen, if you don't get it, you don't get it. But I'm hoping that the Holy Spirit allows you us all to see it this morning. When you are serving Jesus. Totally unworthy to be able to serve the master. Probably the greatest lie of Satan is that you deserve a break. Maybe you've bought into that lie this morning. I deserve a break. I've been working in the fields all day. I'm hot. I'm sweaty. I'm tired. I remember, you guys remember pagers? I remember pagers, and I remember I used to have friends that were on call, doctors, policemen, firemen, and that pager would go off, and you know what they'd do? They'd be at dinner. They'd look at that pager and go, I gotta go. I'm needed. There is no break. Sorry to break this to you. There's no break for unconditional servants. Jesus didn't get a break. Jesus was always, always, always on call for whatever the Father had for him to do. And was he exhausted? Of course. Was he worn out? Of course. Despised, rejected, you know, that's our Lord. Thankless and unconditional service. Jesus says you don't get thanked. Now we need to see something important here. You don't get thanked. Don't look for it. If you look for it, you're going to be frustrated. If you look for thanks, if you look for glory in service, you're not going to get it. Don't get bent out of shape when the people you serve don't thank you. Don't get mad when the people you serve don't thank you. They didn't thank him. Don't look for praise. If you get it, fine. But when you serve all day in the field, hot and sweaty, and then you cook all night, and then you collapse in exhaustion at the end of the day, you know what you just did? What does Jesus say you just did? What you just did, verse 10, what you just did was your duty. You know what Jesus is saying? When you serve into exhaustion, what you just did was you just did your duty. No trophies, no cookies, no gold stars, no trophies. That's your job. Then you know what you get to do? If you've embraced the life of a Christian, you've embraced the life of a servant, and it is thankless service, it is burnout service, and then you die, and then you rest, and then you get the glory of Jesus Christ. But for now, you serve in obscurity and anonymity. You say, man, I've been serving a long time and nobody seems to notice what I'm doing. God notices. But don't look for the approval of man. Don't look for man to come along and applaud you. They didn't do that with Jesus. They most often won't do it with you. This is the model for unconditional service. Jesus is the model for unconditional service. Let me read for you Philippians 2, 4 through 8. Just listen to these words. Philippians 2, 4 through 8. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among you, which was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man. What's the form that Jesus took? The form of a doulos, slave. When Jesus came to earth, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to be a doulos, servant, slave. So are you being a conditional servant or an unconditional servant? Jesus is warning you, don't be a conditional servant. My prayer for us this morning is that our hearts cry out, Lord, just as the disciples said in verse 5, increase our faith. And you're going to need the Lord to increase your faith if you are going to be an unconditional servant. Yeah, back in high school, I wanted to be a doctor. I just didn't want to deal with sick people. How many of us as Christians this morning will confess that all too often we want to be known as servants, just so long as we don't have to actually serve? Or we're willing to serve as long as we get to determine when we serve. Or we're willing to serve as long as we get to determine what we'll do. But Christ-like service is unconditional service. And if we have decided to follow Jesus, that's the job that is ours, the job of an unconditional servant. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus because this is a picture of him, a servant who does what he's instructed to do. Father, this is hard for us. We want the easy jobs, the ones that don't take too long. We want to punch in and punch out. And God, this morning, you've laid out a different pattern for service. And I pray, Lord, that we would not war against it in our spirit, that we would submit to it, that we would embrace this struggle. Lord, I pray that when we find ourselves serving without being thanked, serving with no one noticing, I pray that we would rejoice because we're serving with Jesus. We're serving Jesus. What a privilege. Help us to work hard, burn out, and then to pass into eternity where we will enjoy the fruits of our labor. We thank you, Jesus. We praise you for serving us so perfectly. We ask this in your name. Amen.